Thank you for listening to this message from Revive Our Hearts True Woman 10 Conference in Chattanooga. It's our prayer that God blesses you with His Word and His heart as you listen.
So this is our pretend talk show. We have also pretend coffee.
Okay. Yes, you can have some. That's my pretend coffee, Keith.
But if
you
drink from it,
would you sign my cup after you drink from it?
That was excellent.
Autograph.
Yes. Good job.
Are we to use these? Oh, they're on.
Hello.
Is it that cool?
How many men have you had on stage so far?
You're the first. A little bit of testosterone to start the day off.
It's fantastic.
Necessary. It's necessary.
So could you just say something? Tell us where you're from.
We're from East Texas. It's nice. We used to go to Dallas for our birthday.
What on earth are you talking about? We are from Belfast, Northern Ireland. Anyone been to Northern Ireland or Ireland? Where did you go?
There we go. What's your name? Claire, you're a fine person.
Did I meet you last night? Your mum, who'd been in Northern Ireland.
And somebody over here as well. Oh, that's not as good.
That's okay, though.
Now, if you don't know Keith and Kristen Getty, if you're meeting them for the first time, then you may not understand that they are probably the globe's most known modern hymn writers. And they're really recreating in our culture a desire to have theology in our worship music. You penned In Christ Alone.
Co-wrote it with a friend.
Co-wrote, yeah, but you get...
I'm only one of two.
He's a humble guy. And how many of you have sung In Christ Alone and felt closer to the Lord as you sang it? Amazing. I act like a fool in my bathroom with that song sometimes. So thank you. I'm sorry, that probably kind of ruins it for you, doesn't it?
No.
Well, that's all very interesting, but they don't care about that. They want to know how they
Yeah, so, yeah, we actually brought you here today not to talk about your music. I hope that's okay.
I mean, that was a necessary plug, but we want to know about the romance.
Oh, sure.
Dana promised you were going to tell us about your love life. But
I can tell you what happened. I met this man. I went to university and struggled with a lot of faith issues, and I met a man who really helped me. And he was an older guy. He was a very clever man. And about 6 years later, it's amazing. They say Einstein never realized that he was a terrible violin player. So even you can be Einstein and not have common sense. And this man was the same, because he said to me, I've got a little niece who's 18, and I know that you're 24, and you're such a mature guy, that you could help her with her music, because she wants to be a musician. But all the other guys who try to help her just want to, you know, they just like her. So I want you to look after her, because I know you'd have no interests in anything else. Other than helping her with her music.
Was he calling you an old man?
I think he was, yeah.
At 18, he was an old man. I thought he was really old.
You thought he was old. So when you met him the first time?
You mean mature, don't you?
I was just about to start university. And so I was sort of hanging out with my peers. And he was through university 3 years and was a wee bit nerdy.
What's the next question?
So
wee bit nerdy describes your first encounter. Now, what did you think?
Very talented and wonderful.
Very talented and wonderful. What did you think of?
Well, the first time I heard her sing, I thought, yeah, she's pretty.
Nice.
I mean, a great singer. Sorry.
A great singer. You appreciated her musical talent very much.
That's right.
We started writing songs together and hanging out, and it was several years into that then we started dating. I was 22, I think.
And how did you go about starting to date? It had to be a little awkward because it was...
We knew each other so well. Yeah, okay.
It didn't mean that we could keep it a secret for a while. Just a little while, just because people were used to seeing us together. And so we'd be having dinner and nobody would ever think anything of it. But in our heads, it was a date. Or a date.
Could you...
Date. Diet. Say diet.
Diet.
Diet. How you say
it again.
Diet.
Not bad.
Lessons in Irish.
Yeah.
Irish. I said that bad. Okay, so how did you go about pursuing her? Was it a courting thing? Did you ask her out on a date? Did you ask anyone's permission? I mean, we want to know.
Well, we were just friends. You know, we were just friends all along. And then I told her one day I thought I was going to marry her.
Well, that's a nice intro.
Friends to you.
Friends, 30 seconds later, I'm going to marry you.
Hmm. Yeah, now that was kind of, I realized at that point, because we'd made like 4 albums of music at that point,
There's no going back.
I realized that our musical relationship was never going to be the same again.
No, I have a hard question. Can I ask a hard question?
Mm-hmm. Go.
How did you maintain a standard of protecting her purity throughout your dating relationship?
Well, I would say...
That's so funny. I'm interested to hear about this. Never been asked that question.
Well, I honestly think getting engaged quickly and getting married quickly when you know you want to marry somebody is the best thing. How does that sound for an answer?
That was an honest answer.
Yeah. If you know it's the right person. If you know it's the right person. I will say this. I actually got engaged to someone when I was younger who was the wrong person and ran away from getting married 8 weeks beforehand. So I almost made a tremendous mistake when I was a lot younger. So from your mistakes sometimes you learn, and from the ashes of your biggest mistakes the Lord can redeem situations. And when I think of the marriage that we've had, and by the way, the marriage bit is way better than the musical bit, just in case you think I'm referring to the musical or the ministry bit. But when I think of how great that is, it certainly does not give me any pride. Rather, thankfulness at God's grace to redeem a situation. So I would say that.
Wow. God is good. He's such a great redeemer. We just talked about that. I want to ask you something, Kristen. What qualities in Keith make him a godly man?
And take as long as you want over this answer.
Well, I think he's a strong leader in the biblical sense. In our home, he's very much the leader. And I think that in when you're thinking about who you might marry, you do want your husband to be strong and stronger than you in that sense. You don't really want to be with a weaker man. Mm. I think nobody's happy in that scenario, and so that's been great. Some of the things have just been little personality things. You know, I would be incredibly intense and a worrier and go over, you know, things in my head over and over and over again.
I'm more shallow.
Keith's a lot more fun and laid back, and I think that has actually been quite useful, you know, because I can take myself a little bit too seriously, and so that's been good. I think when it comes to the big things, like what church we're going to go to, how, you know, we should spend our money, family things and relationships, he takes such a strong lead in those big decisions, and has helped me an awful lot in dealing with my family and with his. And so that's really somebody that you can very much look up to when you're thinking about those big decision-making processes, that you can trust the other's opinion, knowing that they're praying about it, they're trying to live a godly life and trying to please the Lord with those decisions. And that's one of the things I knew whenever we were just dating and trying to work out, how do I really feel about this guy? And sort of a little moment of awakening at one point when I realized that his opinion, you know, after the Lord's, of course, but his opinion was the one I most cared about, you know, what he thought about things, what he thought about my music, what he thought about people, what he thought, you know, I always sort of deferred to him in that way and trusted him a great deal, and realized that other people I would hang out, other guys I would see, I could never imagine. You know, I'd think to myself, which is quite a serious thought, which will illustrate the first point they said, was whenever I'm older maybe and I have a teenager, how am I going to deal with a teenager? Well, Keith will be good at that. Little things like that.
All right, here's the juicy question. And then you guys get to ask them three questions. I'm going to let three of you ask each one question. So think about what you might want to ask them. Before we do that, I have one more question about their relationship, and then Aaron's going to ask this beautiful woman a few questions about her beauty. But here's my question. Most romantic thing that Keith has ever done. Mm. Good one? Is that a good one?
Yeah, that's really hard to answer because Keith is so romantic. I can give you so many stories. I can give you stories of being in America while we were dating, and it's my birthday, and I didn't know he was coming, and he flew into America for my birthday. And I went into a restaurant, and there he was sitting there with flowers for me. And when we got engaged, he flew me to New York and took me to Tiffany's. I know.
That was how you got engaged?
Yeah, flew me to New York. We were in Nashville recording a project, and he flew me up as a surprise. Yeah. But the most important thing is, though, that I really, really love, is that we got married June 16th in 2004, and we celebrate every 16th, every month. So we just had our 69th month anniversary, and we're about to have our 70th.
Are you running out of ideas yet?
It can be a simple
There's always story. Infinite ideas.
As we've been touring, it's been great because we've been in different cities. So
you get to go to nice places in each city, you see. And
but sometimes it's simple as just go to Starbucks or just remembering, you know. And you know.
That's
anyway,
good. So one more time, we need to awe. That's good. Oh my, is he setting the standard high. Erin?
Well, we're going to be talking about beauty this afternoon. And we look at you, and you are gorgeous, but you probably never struggle with beauty, have you?
Oh my goodness, well, I fought with my hair this morning. I have a spot that's under my nose. Every time I smile, it hurts. Right there. And I'm trying to cover it up, but it's not working.
The first thing he thought when he met you was, she's beautiful. Yeah. Is that hard to believe sometimes?
Well, it is, you know. It's you sort of balancing being grateful, you know, that I, you know, can have eyes and nose and mouth and hair and all the things that I need to get around and all those different things. You get grateful for that. But then I think, if only my mouth wasn't so big. I have a huge mouth. And now that's all you're going to think about. I'm sorry, I shouldn't point out these things. That's the thing. You shouldn't point them out. Don't point them out.
I think her mouth is pretty amazing.
Me too.
I like to have what comes out of her mouth anyway.
Well, but I had a great youth group growing up and great parents, you know, who always placed more emphasis on character over beauty, mm-hmm. but allowed you to enjoy beauty, you know. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes
Wonderful.
We can bounce to extremes. I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking care of yourself and of the body that God has given you and enjoying pink nail varnish, nail polish, and
thank you.
Various different things like that. But understanding, you know, that our, you know, obviously our true worth is not in those things, thank goodness, because they fade very fast. I've got little lines. I'm going to be 30 in May, and it's just strange.
Yeah.
It's not, like, so old, but I look in the mirror, and I feel myself changing, and it's just odd, you know.
Yeah, I can feel that, girl. I can feel that. I'm going to be 30 next month. Again.
Yeah.
Okay, three questions. So, right here. Go, girl. Stand up. Say
here,
it nice and loud.
I'll take her microphone.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
Good idea.
Oprah would never do this across the stage action, but, you know, I'm an amateur. All right.
But you're Ellen.
Good. That's right. That's right. I'm Ellen. You're Oprah. Mm-hmm. Hi, Anna.
I can't talk very loud. I'm
just
kind of sick.
Okay.
I can't talk.
Just want to whisper your question to me, and I'll tell it in the microphone. Great question.
That is
Anna,
a great
who's
question.
A little sick, wants to know, how did you know you were right for each other?
That's a stumper.
I don't think, well, there isn't an answer for that, like you know, like do not murder or do not, you know, or 2 + 2 = 4. And different people have different opinions, but I just didn't want to be with anybody else. And there are certain tests you can put on it. The Bible basically says you can marry anyone as long as they're a believer, as long as they're the opposite sex, as long as they're not already married, and as long as they're not a close blood relative. So within one connection. So the Bible leaves the sheet pretty clear at one level in terms of do nots. But I just wanted to be with Kristen all the time, and there were certain things like she made me more holy. And I don't mean holy as in she made me more intense or more kind of thinking about legalistic issues all the time, but she made me a more humble, gentle, kinder, more loving person to other people. Mm. So what do you think?
I think also remember my uncle saying that you can make any relationship work, but do you really want to work that hard? You know, there will always be work involved, but you'll know yourself, even just with, you know, with girlfriends you hang out, there's some that just clicks and there's some that just takes a little bit more effort. On the marriage scale, you know, you want to go for something that just clicks and not something that's going to, because, you know, life throws many challenges at you and you want to have somebody that at the very heart of it can be your best friend to walk through those things.
Yeah, because once you begin to like purely tick boxes, you can make terrible mistakes. I know many people who've justified marrying somebody because they said they were a Christian, tick, or they went to church, tick, or they said they would be my spiritual leader, Tick, and really they were never going to be that. They did not have the character to do it, but they knew to say the right thing. So sometimes the boxes can actually fool ourselves, and we've three sisters. Their average age is 30, and none of them have even had a serious boyfriend, because there are so few decent Christian guys in Britain. And I would say that, and I can't say this strongly enough, that no one is infinitely better than the wrong one.
Mm. Amen.
Take another question.
Next question. And I love what they just said, because good godly advice there. But, you know, I had a mentor when I was trying to decide if my husband was the right one or not. And she said, if he meets the biblical qualifications, don't try to find someone that you can stand to live with. Find someone you can't live without, that you just have to be with them. And that's kind of what both of you said, that's very beautiful. All right, who do we have back there? Question number
two. What's your name?
Rebecca.
Rebecca, what's your question?
Keith, are you still as much in love with her as when you got married?
No, much more so. But it's
different than we thought, better than we thought.
Yeah. No, it's class. It's brilliant. It's fantastic is the word I would use. Do they use that word here?
Yes, we
kind
do.
Of. So, no, it is. But it's something that grows, like all relationship grow, like the most beautiful kind of art. Like you've never imagined before. I can't say anything else.
Same for him.
One more question.
Third question. There you go, girl. Get the hand up fast.
Excuse me. All right, go ahead.
I don't know if this is like too personal or anything, but I want to know about you guys' first kiss.
Oh. Ooh. So do I.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
She's blushing.
Well,
that was the best one of your life.
it was obviously quite an odd thing, because we had been really good friends for 3.5 years, and never so much as do you know what I mean? It was just, and then suddenly he was kissing me. I know there's some people that went on our first date. I know there's some people that would. Because I don't want to cause any, if your family or any books that you've read said you shouldn't kiss before you're married, we never read those books. And none of our friends at church, it was just, we never even thought, when I came to America and started reading, I thought, what? Never heard such a thing. But that's a great thing. Keith is as a cousin, her first kiss was on her wedding day. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. I can't say that.
And that's okay.
There were other firsts. And then we went to the North Coast for dinner, I remember, in the North Coast of Ireland. And then we went back to, we were watching a concert on television. And that's when he kissed me.
Beautiful. As they leave today, I would just like to pray for their marriage. Would you bow your head with me and join in asking the Lord to bless them? Father God, I just thank you so much for Keith and Kristen. And not just the beautiful way they bring us to the throne of God with worship, but Lord, the life that they live. Thank you for letting us peek into their marriage today, and we just ask that you would seal and protect it from the enemy in every way. We ask that you would just send angelic warriors to guard over them and fight, Father. I pray, Father, that they would grow old celebrating the 16th together, and that they would continue counting those months and falling more deeply in love with one another, as they are a beautiful picture of Christ in the church. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Thanks, you guys. We love you. Thank you for visiting with us today. God bless you. That was awesome.
The message you just heard was presented at Revive Our Hearts True Woman 10 Conference in Chattanooga. You can hear any of the messages delivered there and more by visiting truewoman.com. There you'll find even more ways to connect, from books and resources for yourself, your friends, or your life group, to on-demand multimedia, to ongoing conversations you can be a part of. True Woman 10 is a ministry of Revive Our Hearts, helping you become God's true woman.